Welcome to the podcast of the Student Christian Movement. SCM is a community of students, past and present, and it is community that is at the heart of who we are and how we do things. Based in the UK, our vision of SCM is as a generous community, expressing a lived faith in Jesus Christ where social action meets prayerful devotion. We seek to be both a radical voice for equality and justice, and a safe home for progressive Christian students. Hello and welcome to the SCM podcast. Today I am joined by Jack. Jack, thanks for coming on today. Do you want to start by telling us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. It's great to be with you on the SCM podcast. My name's Jack and I'm currently doing my PhD in mathematical biology in Sheffield. When I'm not doing that, I'm a trustee of Inclusive Church. And I'm also a member of the Iona Community Young Adults Group. So they're the main things that I do. That's me. Yeah, living in Sheffield.
Brilliant. And we first met on Iona. So I'd love for you to talk a little about your first encounters with the Iona community, but also just ecumenical movements in general and what ecumenism means to you.
Yeah, so I first came across ecumenism at university with the chaplaincy. So it's an ecumenical chaplaincy there. When I was there were three main chaplains, Catholic, Anglican, Methodist. And yeah, it just made sense to me that these different groups should work together to provide a chaplaincy service. And whilst also acknowledging like different identities within that. And then yeah, the Iona community, that's another ecumenical organization. And I spent some time volunteering there and then on the staff team. And yeah, that's fully ecumenical. The worship there, the Abbey doesn't belong to any particular denomination. I think it was, the Duke of Argyle, when he like paid for some of the renovations, kind of said that this building should be an ecumenical building and should belong to no particular denomination, and so that's kind of where that tradition stems from. And I think it's great tradition.
Yeah, and has it had an impact on your own personal faith as well?
Yeah, I suppose thinking about this podcast and looking at the things I do, I've realized that I'm pretty much all involved in all ecumenical organizations. And I don't know if that's because I don't have a strong sense of like a denominational identity. I'm mostly involved with the Methodist Church, I don't know if that's why. Yeah, so it's definitely influenced my faith and allowed me to be more open to different ways of worship, different ways of doing things, different ways of looking at scripture and what all that means. So yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And you mentioned that you spent some time volunteering on Iona. So could you tell us about whether this has formed or changed your thinking on what it means to live in Christian community?
Yeah, so it definitely influenced my thinking on what it means to live in a Christian community. Yeah, so Iona is, when we say Iona, we're talking about Iona Abbey. And the Iona community runs a residential centre there, and each week about up to 44 guests turn up and they join in with the life of the resident community there. So they share in our meals, share in our worship, and contribute towards the tasks that are needed to keep the place running, like cleaning and filling up candles in the church. And so, yeah, that's kind of an intentional community with a few at its core, but constantly welcoming in new people. And then, so there's the kind of the staff team who are a bit more permanent. And then there's the volunteers who come 6 weeks, 3 months or a year. And then there's the guests that come every week. So you've got this constant like refreshing of the community, which sort of you get used to someone being there and being part of your community, and then they go, and it's really weird, but then you don't know who's going to show up next. So I guess, yeah, it's definitely formed my thinking on how to be a community that is constantly changing and welcoming new people, and the challenges of that.
Yeah, so part of this podcast is looking at and considering the life and theology of Dietrich Bonhoeffer in relation to our activism and our devotional lives and our spirituality. And I know that for a lot of people within the Iona community, they would refer to Bonhoeffer as like the theologian of the community. But in his work, Life Together, Bonhoeffer wrote that the person who loves their dream of community will destroy community, but the person who loves those around them will create community. So how does this relate to your involvement both in the Iona community as a volunteer, but also leading the northern leg of Pilgrim Cross this year?
Yeah, I think Bonhoeffer is pretty spot on here with this quote. And yeah, just to talk first about the Iona community. Yeah, you're living and working together, and you don't necessarily get to choose who comes and who's going to be part of your team. And you may have a vision of how that team will work, how that community will work, but every person in the community influences it in some way. And so you very quickly learn that it's probably not going to be as you hoped or as you planned. And that, yeah, you have to learn to accept who is around you and to work with them. And that is part of loving those people around you. And I think part of community is the willingness to accept anyone who wants to be in it. You can't choose who's there. And yeah, so learning to love those around you is, I mean, it's theory versus practice. In practice, it's quite hard, quite difficult when you're spending all that time together and you learn all these things that you never thought would annoy you, but somehow they do. And I think that's where faith comes into it, because you have that shared belief or shared ideology or sense of something greater than us, some greater reason for doing it. The specific beliefs of our faiths may differ, but there's still a general belief. So I think that is definitely that uniting belief is what is kind of the foundation of, particularly for me on Iona, the foundation there. And that's not to say that people who come are certain in their faith or certain in what they believe. It's definitely a place to explore that and be challenged. Yeah, and thinking about Northern Leg of Pilgrim Cross, so what that is a pilgrimage to Walsingham every Holy Week. We start off in Nottingham and walk to Walsingham, and there's a few other groups who walk to Walsingham as well, but start off in different places. And we're called Northern because we're the most northerly route into Walsingham. And it's been going a long time. It's our 75th anniversary this year, which is exciting. It began as a group of students in London who kind of in response to the war and everything that was happening, felt that they needed to do something, and they decided to carry a big cross and walk to Walsingham. And then it's just carried on since then. So yeah, that's again another community where you don't know who's going to sign up and come and join you on your pilgrimage. And I think, yeah, we sort of plan it out as best we can, but you just don't know what's going to happen. And there's kind of moments in the week where you think, why am I doing this? Why am I walking all these miles every day? What am I doing with all these, you know, this real like crossroads of society, these different people? And then you kind of learn, yeah, that you're stuck there with them, and you sort of, yeah, learn to love them, I think. And it's definitely a great experience. And this year I have the pleasure of leading them, making sure we all arrive in Walsingham in one piece.
Yeah, and the theme of pilgrimage is obviously not only common to the Pilgrim Cross, but as well you have the weekly pilgrimage on the island of Iona, so it's clearly been part of your own journey. So what does pilgrimage mean to you, and how can it help in ecumenical work?
So pilgrimage, I think, it can be a great help to ecumenical work. It definitely, so pilgrimage, like in a group, will creates a strong sense of group identity. And I've found that through the exhaustion of walking and the constant time in each other's presence, and all that, the filters or the masks that we have in our everyday lives kind of begin to wear away, and you get kind of this almost like raw personalities of different people, which is again challenge and a joy, but by being kind of our authentic selves in that, that's where you can begin to build that community or strengthen the community that's already been built. And I think that by becoming part of that group identity, you sort of begin to hold on less to your individual self, which I think is really important. I mean, and in ecumenical work, that's all about coming together, and not forgetting that we're different and have different beliefs, but not letting them divide us and stop us working together. And then, to talk about Iona on the pilgrimage there. So on the Tuesdays, the guests head out on their pilgrimage round Iona, on the off-road pilgrimage, we call it. And Tuesdays they arrive on a Saturday and leave on a Friday. So it's a bit of a halfway point. And I find that's kind of the day that really gels the group together. And they've settled into their rhythm being at the Abbey. And then they have this shared experience of physically doing something together. And I think that's really powerful in bringing guests together. And I mean, it's also, I want to talk about the on-road pilgrimage, which we offer for those who either don't want to do the off-road one, which is an all-day walk, or for various reasons can't physically do that. And that pilgrimage is a lot shorter. You could probably walk it in about 10 minutes, but what they do is they stop at different points and they share stories, either about the island or about themselves. And this again creates that strong relationship and gives people a chance to listen to other people who are there, but also share something of themselves and feel heard in that. And I think both types of pilgrimage can be pretty powerful, both the ones where you're literally walking together, but also the ones where you're storytelling. I think anything that brings people together in that way can help with ecumenical work.
Yeah, I know that one of the things that stood out for me on those pilgrimages was the fact that there was a lot of different experiences that people were coming with, and with that, different spiritual practices. And I was really enriched by all of these different songs and prayers that were offered from traditions other than my own and the Church of Scotland. And I really appreciated that diversity and the experience. And some of those practices are things that I've continued today, and I've learned in those moments of pilgrimage. And as you said, that shared group connection and experience together. So when it's comes to your own experience of ecumenical community and pilgrimage, how's that affected your own spirituality? And are there any practices or insights you've gained as a result of participating in these?
My spiritual practices have definitely changed as a result of being on Iona and being part of pilgrimages. And I'm currently listening to a book on BBC Sounds called Ritual, which is by Dimitris Zigalatas, and he talks a lot about these group identities and how humans are a very social species. And he talks about this idea of collective effervescence, which is when a group comes together many times and does some kind of shared experience, whether singing or walking together or sharing a meal. And often these groups, united by some collective belief or sense of belonging, and that in doing this, there's kind of this moment of collective effervescence where you kind of feel a sense of unity in the group. Often people get like goosebumps and that kind of thing. And that, that immediately made me thought about some of the kind of moments on Iona and on Northern, like singing together in the Abbey, these chants from different world traditions. And even like the morning service, which is kind of your, you go through your responses, the confession, the intercessions, the hymns, and that. It's a very simple structure, but through doing that repeated thing, you kind of gain a bigger sense of belonging. That's definitely like highlighted a few things for me. One of the things that really stood out was, a fellow volunteer introduced us to the practice of the Dances of Universal Peace, which is a spiritual practice where you follow a set of you're often in a circle and follow set movements as you sing or chant phrases from various faith traditions. And that kind of, that really opened my mind to the wisdom of other faiths. A few of them like sort of stick with me, and they're ones that are about unity and working together. So lots of things, and I still sort of reflecting on all this time now. I spent 2 years there. That's lots of time to kind of soak up these different ways of looking at things, and where different people put their emphasis on what's important to them.
Yeah, so thank you for coming on today, Jack. I've really enjoyed this conversation. If people wanted to find out more, either about the Iona community or the northern leg of the Pilgrim Cross, where could they do that?
So for the Iona community, you can go to iona.org.uk and have a look at the website there. There's lots of information about volunteering on Iona, staying on Iona, and the young adults group that I'm part of. And if you want to find out more about Northern Leg of Pilgrim Cross, northernpilgrim.org is our website. Our booking is still open for this year, for Easter. It might have closed by the time this comes out, but there's always next year. So our website has about our pilgrimage and how you can get involved.
That's great. Thanks for coming on.
No worries. Thanks for having me.